Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Let's try that again. How many are ready for that service? I'm just going to go home now. All right. We have started last Tuesday, I believe it was the first Tuesday night. We've started actually going through that book, Do What Jesus Did. We are doing a chapter at a time. And for those of you that are a part of that, we will meet at Paradise Valley Mall again this next Tuesday. We may meet at different places every week, so just... I'll make sure you know ahead of time. We've got about 10, 12 folks that are part of that, and we're reading a chapter a week, and then we just get together and we talk about what struck you in that chapter. And another thing, folks, is those of you that are reading the book, make sure you underline and highlight, whether it's electronic version like I have or the actual hard copy, make sure you're highlighting... you know, things that he speaks of when he talks about the Spirit of God gave him an impression, or however he was led by the Spirit of God. Make sure you're highlighting those things and paying attention to how he explains those things, because what it will do is through the course of the book, you begin to pick up the way he describes the Spirit of God was leading, directing, and guiding him, and you'll notice those things are at work with you. So I would encourage you just in that respect, those of you that are reading the book, and whether you're a part of the book club or not, you know, get a colored pencil or a highlighter or something and just pay attention and highlight those things in the book. That way you'll get some things good out of it when you're done. So Tuesday nights, if you're part of that book club, then Paradise Valley Mall Food Court will eat and we'll have our little round table discussion, so to speak. And then we'll just go and, you know, wander around the mall. So, okay. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. We're in the middle of a series on the Holy Spirit. He's your BFF, your best friend forever, right? You remember what the word says? It says, in all your ways... It says, don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways, what? Acknowledge him. And he'll direct your steps. That's pretty simple. Acknowledge him. You know, I tell you, you know, in your own personal life, it doesn't matter what it is. He'll direct your steps in specific things, even little things that you don't really think matter too much in the big scope of things for God, because God cares about the little things. And so here in Genesis chapter 12, we're going to get into something. We're going to do some review from last week. And we're going to talk about this thing called the law of your mind. How many of you heard me use that phrase? The law of your mind. It's important, folks, that you understand what that is. Because if you don't understand what that is, then you could be living there and you don't know you're living there. So we're going to get into that a little bit, but I want to show you some things here in Genesis having to do with Abraham, because Galatians chapter 3 specifically talks about the fact that the gospel was preached to Abraham. And the reason why Jesus went to the cross was so that the blessing of Abraham would come upon you. And how many know it's important that we fully understand what the blessing of Abraham was? You know, so much of the time we only limit it to the material substance you can see with your eyes. And there's more to it than that. So here in Genesis chapter 12, I want you to notice this. In chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which you'll find eventually." Is that what it says? No, it says that I will show you. How many know if he's going to show him something, he has to be there? Right? And he says, "I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make your name great. And you, so shall you be a blessing." And then in verse 3 it says, at the end of verse 3 it says, in you all families of the earth will be blessed. So in verse 4, notice what it says. Abram went forth as the Lord had what? As the Lord had what? As the Lord had what? Go to chapter 4. Verse 7 in chapter 12. Notice the first three words. The Lord, what does it say? Appeared to Abram. And he began to speak to him. And then go to chapter 13. In verse 14. And what are the first three words? And the Lord said. Go to chapter 14. Actually, jump to chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 1, what does it say? After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram. And he said, "I'm your shield. I'm a shield to you. Your reward is very great. Do not fear." Okay, now jump to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, look at verse 15. Now let's go to verse 15. Might as well start there. It says, "Law brings wrath. Where there's no law, there's no violation." And then it goes on to say, verse 16, "For this reason, it's by faith," or you could say out from faith, "in order that it may be in accordance with grace," everybody say his presence, "and the working of his power, so that the promise will be guaranteed." Did you know that if his presence and power shows up, the results are guaranteed? Now go, keep reading. Well, not you literally, but verse 17, what it says. "As it's written," it quotes over there in the Old Testament, "a father of many nations have I made you." Who's speaking? God speaking. "In the presence of him," God, "whom he," Abraham, "believed, even God whom gives life to the dead and calls into being those things that do not exist." But I want you to notice, I read this verse for years and years and years. And I never saw those three words after the parentheses. Actually, it's five words, sorry. "In the presence of him." How many have read these verses but never seen those five words? Okay, well, I'll admit it, I never did. Y'all are just, can I touch you? "As is written, a father of many nations have I made, in the presence of him." Now go over to Galatians chapter 3. "I submit to you this, folks, that the blessing of Abraham is not simply the stuff. The stuff is drawn to what the real blessing of Abraham is, and the real blessing of Abraham is the presence of him." Would you agree with that? So it says here in Galatians chapter 3, it says that Christ, in verse 13, redeemed us from the curse of law. And I'm going to take the word "the" out of there because it doesn't really appear in your text. "Christ redeemed us from the curse of law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" Verse 14, "in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the nations, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit. Did you notice that all along these verses have been telling us what the blessing of Abraham is? But we got kind of stuck on the silver and the gold that it says that he has in chapter 13, I believe it is. When all those things are drawn to the presence, because it's the presence of him that created all those things, right? So all of those things are drawn back to his presence. So the reason why Abraham had all the stuff is because Father was with him, and he stayed in step with what Father said to do, when he said to do it, how he said to do it, and where he said to do it. So the blessing that Abraham experienced in his life was in the presence of him whom he believed. Does that make sense? So the issue is, you know, if we're going to talk about human beings, the issue is, and I've got to trust the Lord that the Spirit of God will get over to you today what I'm trying to communicate here. Because when the Word says, whom the Son has set free is truly free, it's important that you understand what we've been set free from. I'm so glad, every time I think back about me and my life and my history, I thank the Lord, thank you Jesus for setting me free from me. And so when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, your best friend forever, how many have ever been in a scenario, been in a situation where you're talking to somebody, nobody in here obviously, but you know people, that they start throwing the words around, well, the Holy Spirit said, and the Holy Spirit told me, and I just, you know, this, that, and the other. Fill in the blank. And then, you know, you follow the life, and the results aren't really there. So you're like, well, what's going on with that? Well, Paul mentioned something that we need to key in on, because even in Galatians here, he mentions, go back a few verses, and he mentions this, and I love this in Galatians 3, verse 5. He says, he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you. And those two phrases in the original Greek New Testament, those are in the present tense, which means it's an ongoing, constant environment. That's the new law of the Spirit of life. I want you to just think about this. The new law of the Spirit of life that is inside of you is telling you right here that the environment that you're supposed to be accustomed to is the constant providing of the Spirit to you. That means there's situations in your life maybe that you need some answers and insight to. This verse is telling you it belongs to you. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, Paul said the very reason why the Father gave you His Spirit is so that you would have His vantage point and know what He's thinking, and you would have His thoughts. And then also he says that it's the constant working of miracles among you. That's an environment of the new law of the Spirit of life. Romans 8 says we now live under the new law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We've been set free from that old law of sin and death. So our desire as the new model, if I can use it that way, 1 Corinthians 5:17 calls it the new creation. But if I could use this term, the new model of man has capabilities that the old model of man didn't have. The Peter pre-resurrection and post-resurrection were two different men. The disciples pre-resurrection and post-resurrection were different men. We need to relate to the one that's post-resurrection, not the one that's pre-resurrection. Amen? Because if you're the new model, if the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, dwells on the inside of you, you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you declare Him as Lord, the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you. He came and set up shop inside of your spirit. You're one spirit with Him. You're the new model. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're not the old man. Paul said this, that if the Spirit of God dwells in you, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. So our focus and our concentration will be not what we usually typically focus on, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, but we're going to focus on the real individual, which is you in your spirit. This is who you are. But here's the challenge. The challenge is see, your mind, so many times, your mind, as Paul said in Romans 12, he said, you know, your reasonable service to him is to offer up your body as a living sacrifice to him. In other words, going back to and tying Romans 12 forward with Romans 11:36, which says all things are from him, they're through him, and they go back to him. We have to tie all those verses together, take out the chapter division in Romans 12, and you understand that simply what the Spirit of God is saying is this: I want to have access and utilize you. Will you let me? Because everything comes from Father. It flows through Father, through you, and back to him. And Paul is saying in Romans that that is the reasonable service. That is our reasonable service. Now, is it possible to be the new model and not be functioning from out of your spirit? The answer is yes. Notice here, go back a chapter in Galatians 3 to Galatians 2, and he's speaking, go about verse 16, Galatians 2, 16. How many came to get a new thought today?
Yes.
I'm so glad that somebody said yes. Because every time I sit down and read this, I say, I want to get a new thought. Galatians 2, notice what Paul says. And we're really dealing with this issue of the two systems that will lead a man. Everybody say there's two systems that will lead a man. So we want to make sure we're taking our direction from the right one. And that would be out of your spirit by his spirit. So notice what he says here in verse 16. He says, nevertheless, know this. Know in the past with the existing results, you know it right now as I'm talking to you. Know this, that a man, this is any man, doesn't matter whether you're the new model, the old model, natural man, the new creation man, doesn't matter. This is a man. The word here is anthropos. It means any man, mankind, man. No man, know that a man, no human being is ever receiving the message that they're upright. I should say it like this. No man is ever receiving on an ongoing basis the realization that they're upright and flawless in the sight of the system of law. That's what that verse says. I'm going to read it again. No man is ever receiving on an ongoing, constant basis the message that he's upright and flawless by the environment of law. And I'm not talking about the laws of the land. I'm talking about an environment of law, which we're going to get into. We're going to reiterate what that is. But, verse 16, through faith in Christ. Now, literally, what those words say in the Greek New Testament is not through faith in Christ, but out from the faith of Christ. That's literally what it says. Out from the faith of Christ. Out from the faith of Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified. The word by there means out from faith, and that faith is the faith of Christ. And not out from the works of law. Since out from the works of law, no flesh, as he already has said, is upright and flawless. Or has received the message of being upright and flawless. That's a lot to be said in three verses. So notice what he says here in verse 17. Jump forward to verse 19. He says, through the law I died, or through law I died to law, so that, everybody say so that, I might live to God. The desire of Father is for you to be alive to none other but him. Romans talks about the exact same thing, that, let's see if I can find it, Romans 7 verses 5 and 6, he says this, that while we're in the flesh, or you could say restricted to your natural man, the sinful passions that were aroused by law were at work in the members of your body to bear fruit to death. But now, I'm going to say but now, verse 6, we have been released from, and you could say this in parentheses, the environment of law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we would serve, there's that word so that again, so that we would serve in newness of the Spirit. See, the desire of Father is for us to be so connected with Him that we're alive unto Him and we don't listen to any other voice. And that we also recognize, like Paul brought out in 1 Corinthians, we also recognize that which is coming from Him from somebody else. And celebrate that. It's our job, it's our responsibility as His kids, as His body, to have the kind of fellowship developed with Him that we recognize Him. The biggest challenge that you find is those that like to live under an environment of law. When, you know, notice what happened with the ministry of Jesus when He came into the earth. And I'm not speaking about the law of Moses here, because the environment that He walked into was, that may have been somewhere down there, but there were so many layers of man brought into this thing that when God Himself, a man wearing the mantle of the presence of God, the Spirit of God, when He walked into their midst, they said, no, you're not it. If you had stripped away all this and just had that which came from heaven, they may have recognized the presence when they were looking at it. But because there's so much layers of man's thought process that is layered in, Jesus said, man, you make the power of God or not because of all your traditions. So, here in Galatians, he says, there's not a human being on the planet that's ever received the message from an environment of law that you're flawless and upright. But the faith that's coming from Jesus, in fact, if you go to, jump forward to verse 20, chapter 2, Paul says this, he said, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So that the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. Now most translations say in, but literally in the Greek New Testament it's the word of. So we're still in the same context. Paul is saying, as the new creation man, I'm not living from something that I'm generating that's coming from me. I'm living from something that's coming from Him to me. Do you know when we read Romans chapter 4, remember when we read Romans 4:17, it says that God spoke to Abraham, was in the presence of Him, and God spoke to him, and God said, you're a father of many nations. How many know faith spoke that to him? So he got that, and in Galatians says, in whom he believed. How do you know he believed? Well, his actions were his belief. See, we have to understand this, folks, and this is a little bit cloudy to some thought processes, in that faith is not something that comes from you. Faith comes from Him. Believing comes from you. Believing is you acting on what faith told you. Can you see the difference? Faith speaks to you. The Word says that faith comes by hearing, and most of our translations say something to the effect of faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, right? But the phrase by the Word of God is not what it says at all. Actually, in the Greek New Testament, it says, Faith comes by, or out from, everybody say out from the spoken, anointed Word of God. In other words, it's the word rhema, it's something that's spoken spontaneously. It's revelatory in nature, it's not talking about print. So what we find is faith shows up, and it's directly connected to that which the Spirit of God reveals to you from the Word of God, or in a spontaneous situation. Jesus said this, He said, mankind is to live by every spoken word that comes out of the mouth of Father. Why? Because the just will live by faith. Did you ever put those two together? Those two are directly connected. Every time Father opens his mouth, what did Jesus say in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, around in there? He said, have the faith of God. That's literally what it said. It didn't say have faith in God. It said have the faith of God. How are you going to have the faith of God? Well, as soon as he opens his mouth, it's there. So it's our job to hang around him. Right? It's our job to hang around him and let that faith speak to you. And so when that faith speaks to you, that you take ownership of it, because if the faith shows up, like I've said before, faith is literally, if you go to the doctor and you have an infection in your body, doctors are trained to know if there's an infection inside the body, if there's an infection showing up in the body, there's something going on. It's directly tied to something. Right? Is this simple? Okay, so if faith shows up, we have to understand it's not something that comes from you. This is why we've gotten so frustrated in how we're trying to get things done for the kingdom, is we think we have to generate faith, have enough faith, whatever, to get something done or to stand for something, when the reality is your job is to simply stay in his presence, spend time with him, spend time in his word, let the Holy Spirit farm revelation from the Spirit of God, and every time you get revelation from the Spirit of God, faith shows up connected to that, you grab a hold of it because faith is telling you this belongs to you right now. And then in believing, you act on that and walk it out. But we have to hang around him. We have to spend time with him. And so, here's the thing. Go over to go back to verse 16. Verse 16, I'm going to read this to you again. He says, knowing that a man is not receiving on an ongoing, constant basis the message of being upright and flawless. Somebody would say, well, I don't know any man receiving that message. I'm glad you said that. Go over to, hold your place here and go to Ephesians, just real quick. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, look at, we read these in the context of marriage and husbands and wife, and they should be read in that context. But what I want you to see is the principle here. Notice what Jesus is doing. Verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church. Now, how does he demonstrate that he loves the church? You say he already did. Yeah, but he's still alive, right? Isn't he still alive? So how does he demonstrate he loves the church now? Well, it tells you in this verse, it says, he gave himself up for her so that he might set her apart, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the... That word is the word rhema. That means what he's speaking right now. That's not print. That's what he's speaking right now. So what is this verse telling us? It's telling us that what Jesus is speaking over you is those things in verse 27 that cause him to present to himself you in all your glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Holy or blameless in his sight. That's what he's saying over you. And in this context, he's saying, husbands, you need to do the same thing for your wife. The reason we have marriage challenges is because the husband stopped speaking what he used to speak over his wife when he was trying to get her to say, I do. And now he's saying stuff over that Jesus didn't say over him. Well, anyway, we'll move on. That goes over good, doesn't it? But so there you have it. This is what Jesus is speaking over you. Does it mean that you have no issues? Well, you know, everybody's got issues. But we take care of those issues in his presence with him. Right? Because he does love you enough not to keep you that way. But yet, this is what he speaks over you. He will not speak. He doesn't. What did it say about Father? Father calls those things to be not as though they were. So what does Jesus do over you? You may not have arrived, but he's still calling those things that be not as though they... Because that's what love does. Right? 1 Corinthians 13, it believes the best of everybody. The word says God is love. So this is how God acts. Now go back over to Galatians chapter 2. Paul says that there's no human being that's receiving any kind of a message from the environment of law that they're upright and without flaw or blameless. But what kind of message are we receiving from him? We're receiving that message that we are upright, flawless, and blameless. Because that's what he's speaking over us. Right? So that's why he says, in contrast to the environment of law in verse 16, but through the faith that comes out of Christ, even we who are believing into Christ are justified or upright and flawless out from the faith that's of him. Now, here's the thing. We talk about an environment of law. Go over to Romans chapter 2, verse 14. Romans 2, verse 14. Notice what Paul says here. And again, we understand that in the context of what he's talking about, he is speaking about the law of Moses. But understand this, that when he starts talking about verse 14 about the nations, about natural men that are in the nations that do not have, quote, the law of Moses, he's given us insight into the very foundation to which a human being lives in this planet. And that is, they function by an environment of law. You say, how do you know that? Because in the world of man, somebody has to be wrong. Right? Somebody has to be wrong. Somebody has to be to blame. Somebody has to take responsibility for this. That's called an environment of law. In the environment of man, there has to be a punisher. That's just the environment they know. Why? Because that's what their God is. Maybe I should just do this. You know, whatever. He's the punisher. So that's why they want that. Now, notice what Paul says in chapter 2, verse 14. He says, when Gentiles who do not have the law, or have law, do instinctively the things which are of law, these not having the law are a law to themselves. In that they show the work of law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, their thoughts alternately, it's either accusing or defending them. Accusing them in private, defending themselves in public. Because if you live in an environment of law, that's exactly what you do. When Paul said, when it came to the law, I was blameless. He didn't say that he was blameless. He said, I was faultless. That word blameless, it's been translated blameless. It's the word faultless. In other words, in his eyes, he's faultless when he's in the public view. But yet he tells you how it really was in Romans 7 when he's all by himself. He's saying, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Woe is me. Who's going to set me free from this wretched man? That was him before he became the new model. So he tells you how it was in private. But in public, he said, I was far above even my peers. Because when it came to law, in those circles, when it came to law, I was false. So that's what the environment of law does. It'll cause you to, when you're by yourself, it's relentless. It doesn't leave you alone. Every time you look in the mirror, you don't see without fault or blameless. You see just the opposite. But when you're in the public eye, what does it cause you to do? It causes you to want to defend yourself. So we start bringing in phrases like, well, the Holy Spirit told me, I just feel led. So he says, they become a law unto themselves. Now, in the Old Testament, there's a book of Judges. Remember the book of Judges? It's mentioned at least two times in that book. The very last time it's mentioned is the very last sentence of the entire book. It says, each man did that which was right in his own eyes. can you say Allah unto themselves? This is just the principle of how man works. This is how your natural man works. If we live in our natural man, we're going to do that which is right in our own eyes. So here's the challenge. If we don't recognize the difference between him leading and the law of your mind leading you, you think it's the same thing. How are we going to tell the difference? Because we need to be able to tell the difference. Well, watch this. Go over to the book of Luke. We're going to go to Romans 14 here in a minute. But I want to show you this. And you guys have read this parable. Yeah, that's it, Luke 14. Luke 14. We're talking about the system which natural man functions from is the law of his mind. And even as you, as the new man, the new model, you are, if you're going to walk in your natural man, you're still going to live there. Unless we recognize that we're living there and we go back and start spending time with him. Because he's the only one that's going to keep you from living there. Okay? But notice what it says here in Luke chapter 14. Look at verse 16. It says, a man was given a big dinner and he invited many at the dinner. At the dinner hour, he went and sent his slave or his servants, house servants, to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, I have bought a piece of land, and I... Notice the next three words. What's the next three words? I need to. Now notice the next guy. Another one said in verse 19, I've bought 5 yokes of oxen, and I am going to try them. The next guy says in verse 20, another one said, I've married a wife, and for that reason I cannot. Let me ask you, what does marrying a wife have to do with anything? Bring your wife. She probably would like a night out anyway. But notice the first word in every one of these reasons is what? Welcome to the world of the law of your mind. Every one of these people, they had created this safe little box. And inside that box is my world. And this is where I live, and this is how I live, and this is how I function, and this is how I think, and this is what I do, and this is... Anything outside of that, I have no time for. That's the law of your mind right there. Now go to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. Now in Romans 14, it's interesting because he is speaking to really both sides of the aisle here when it comes to where are you getting your direction? On what basis are you living your life? There's the side of folks that, hey, I'm free in Christ. And there's the ones that they're not seeing that. And so they live in that box. If you've ever paid attention to the writings of Galatians, what Galatians says, and you'll see it in this, you'll see it in this chapter also, that people that live in the environment of law, in the environment of the law of their mind, I'm not even talking about, just don't even put any religious anything in there. Because you can live in the law of your mind and be, it has zero influence of religious anything. Anybody can write in to your conscience anything. It doesn't have to be God, and that becomes the law of your mind. That's where you function from. But in Galatians chapter 3, end of chapter 3, chapter 4, and here in Romans 14, it tells you that people that function from out of the law of their mind, they have weakness in their life. They get offended easily. They get hurt easily. How many of you have met somebody, they're a Christian, but every time you turn around, they're offended about something? Why? Because they live in that environment of the law of their mind. And if you violate that law, you hurt them. We're not supposed to violate that. We're supposed to have enough love for them that we don't do that. But if we did, they take hurt. They take it in. They take offense. Jesus said, don't take offense. But this is the environment of those. You can tell folks that have been trained by this environment because this is where they function from. But notice in chapter 14, he says this now. He said, accept the one. Everybody say accept. That word accept, we're gonna see that word again later on in this chapter, because this word accept is the word that literally means you are to view them as your associate. You're to view them as your associate. He says, accept the ones that are weak in faith, or you can put it this way, accept the ones that are weak in receiving what faith is saying. Because remember, faith is speaking. Faith is not coming from you. It does not come from you. It's not something you generate. Faith comes from Him as a result of revelation from His Spirit. And the ones that are, what the Word is saying, the ones that are weak in that speaking to them, he says, accept them, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on their opinions. Notice what it calls their world of environment of law. Their opinions. There are things that they've formulated in their thought process. Isn't it interesting how man, and you even see this in the law of Moses, the process of the law of Moses, you see this. They weren't satisfied with what they got, they had to add to it. So now you had layers and layers and layers and layers and layers of man's opinion. See, man's not satisfied with just taking what God gives, and they have to add to it. And I don't know if it's because somehow in some twisted way it makes us feel valued or whatever. I don't know, but He values you enough. You don't need to add to what He said. But we have all of these things that we've arranged in our thought process, and we've really, a lot of times if we're not mindful of these things, we've really ordered a life behavior because we've made it safe. This is how I function. This is how I conduct myself. This is my life. And we've done this because this keeps us safe. We like it like this because this keeps me safe. I've created buffers on all sides. But how many know when you're going to live with the presence of the Lord, He's going to kick down all your walls? Right? Because He wants to bring you out of that safe place, and He wants you to bring you over into stepping in with Him. Because He doesn't walk in the safe place. So these verses are saying, look, towards those that live out of the law of their mind, whether it's religiously influenced or not, then you are to accept them, you are to walk with them as your associates, not so you can change them, but walk with them as your associates. And then he says, verse 2, he says, one person has faith, or literally you could say this, you remember that banquet table we were talking about in that parable? Maybe you could say this, that the one who has faith or is receiving from that which faith is speaking to them, then in verse 3 it says, they come to eat. We're going to take it out of the specific context, and we're going to make it more applicable in general terms, so you can get this. Otherwise, you'll read on through this and say, well, we don't have anything but having to do with idols, eating the meat of idols, idol sacrifices. It doesn't apply to us, so why are we talking about this? Let's go back and put it in a general context. general context is this. Faith, you're either being led by two sources. You're either being led by the law of your mind, or you're being led by that which faith is speaking to you. Which one is it? Faith is speaking to you saying, come to the banquet. Whom the Son has set free is free. Come to the banquet. So in the context of this, let's put that idea into this these verses and understand what he's saying here. He's saying that the one who is eating, who's come to the banquet and has allowed faith to be speaking to them, and they've stepped out on what faith has told them, and they've come to the banquet, and now they're partaking of that banquet, is not to regard with contempt. The word contempt there literally means is not to relegate as, or disregard, or relegate as irrelevant. Those that don't come to the banquet. But he goes on to say, but the one who doesn't, the one that's still living out of the law of their mind, he says, don't you pass judgment, or literally scrutinize the one that has been hearing from faith and has gone to the banquet. Does this make any sense? Okay. Because, and it says in verse 3, because God has accepted him. So, basically, 14 verse 1 and 14 verse 3 at the end is the same exact statement. We're to regard them as associates because Father right here is telling you he has regarded them as associates. So don't you look down at them and vice versa across the aisle. Verse 4, for who's made you the judge? Who made you the judge of the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he is able to stand because the Lord is able to make him stand. Verse 5, each one must be fully convinced in his own mind. Does that mean that the one who's decided to live out of the law of his mind, does that mean that it's okay, just leave him alone and let him do it? Well, the only thing that's going to change that is if the law of his mind is gradually, bit by bit, the more he spends time with the Spirit of God, it begins to change. The things that are in there that are not from the Spirit of God get replaced by that which is from the Spirit of God. And eventually he'll come out of that box of the law of his mind and he'll go to the banquet. But it has to come. Notice this. Let's just go jump forward to... Well, verse 13, Romans 14, he says this. He says, verse 12, each one must give an account of himself. You have to give an account of yourself. Yeah, I don't know if it's revelation or what, but for those of us who are married, we're not going to be able to stand with the Lord next to our spouse and say, well, it was this one you gave me. We're going to be standing by ourselves. It's just him and us. But notice he says this, he says in verse 13, therefore let no one judge one another anymore. Now that doesn't mean no judgment at all, because what did Jesus say in John 5? He said, I think it's John 5, he said it so many places, I forget which where he was. But he said, you judge, but your judgment is inaccurate because you're judging according to the flesh. You're judging out of your natural mind, out of the law of your minds. I'm judging by what the Spirit of God's showing me. Okay? And this is why I said, this is why it's so important for us to... be able to know where we're getting our information from. How do you know? Because frankly, folks, at one point in your life, you may have got something by revelation. But it's not revelation anymore. And so now you've turned and you walk out into the world. You got it over here in the secret place. But now you've turned and walked over in the world, and it's ceased being revelation to you. Now it's become the law of your mind, and you're running everybody through that filter. Do they do this? Do they act like this? Do they pray like this? Do they conduct their life like this? Do they think like this? Do they fill in the blank? That's not an environment Holy Spirit has anything to do with. So we ought not put his name on it. Notice in verse 17 of Romans 14, he says this. The kingdom of God. Now, let's take all the extra words out and let's look at what is the verse actually saying as far as what is this environment that is connected to the presence of the Spirit of God? It says this, the kingdom of God, and you know it's the presence of the Spirit of God because it says the very last end of the verse, in the Holy Spirit, is this, righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of God, or that which the environment that the Holy Spirit produces in your life and around you with other people, is righteousness, peace, and joy. That means this, what? Righteousness means when you understand that from the Spirit of God that He sees you flawless and blameless and holy in His sight. Right? It means that when you look at everybody else, how do you see them? Righteousness, blameless, and holy in His sight. Why? Because if Jesus cares enough about you to think and see you that way, then you better turn around and apply that to everybody else. And then the word peace there literally means nothing missing or broken, or you could say it like this. Well, let's just leave it at that. Nothing missing or broken. Do we see people with nothing missing or broken? Or is the first thing we notice everything broken? See, in the law of your mind, you'll notice everything broken. You'll notice everything missing. Because that's what law does. Law points out your deficiencies. It doesn't. You're never going to receive in the environment of any kind of a law, you're never going to receive an environment of you're flawless and holy. You're not. Because the environment of law, it doesn't matter if it's the law of someone's mind or anything religious in nature, all it's going to do is point out to you your deficiencies. But notice what it says here, the kingdom of God, that which the Spirit of God has is a part of, produces righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy. Now, here's the challenge that we have. Jump forward to verse 22. For the sake of time, I got 5 minutes. Verse 22, it says this. It says, the faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Now, the word conviction really isn't there. They try to put it in there so it makes more sense. But remember what we said. Let's look at this verse in the light of what we talked about. The word faith, what is it? It's not your faith. It doesn't come from you. It's not something you generate. Y'all need to stop it. And just spend time with Him and let His spoken word reveal things to you. Faith shows up. You take ownership of it and then go act like it's so. Okay? So he says, the faith which you have, or you could say this, the faith that's of Him that is speaking to you that you have in your possession. The faith that you're getting, that's coming from Him, that's speaking to you, that you hold in your possession. He says, have that. Listen to what I'm saying. Have that. Enjoy that. In His presence. So where's home for us? In His presence. In His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's there. In His presence, where the joy of the Lord is their strength. In His presence, that's home for you. So we spend time there. Now, here's the challenge. Because when you start talking about the kingdom of God, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's joy. You can have somebody that's living in the law of their mind and they can talk themselves into the fact that they have joy. You know why? Because it's uncomfortable to live anyplace else otherwise. Because they have to be right. So if you're living in the law of your mind and we start talking about the kingdom of God and the joy of the Lord, you can say, oh yeah, I got the joy of the Lord. I got the joy of the Lord. I got the joy of the Lord, brother. All you're doing is trying to talk yourself into it. You don't. Because you're not spending time at home. This place at home, in the presence of Him, is where everything comes from. It's where revelation of Scripture comes from. It's where the joy of the Lord comes from. It's where the faith begins to speak to you. It's where Abraham knew he was supposed to live, in the presence of Him whom he believed. That's where home is. That's where we get everything we get from Him. That's where, if you want to grow, if you want to live a victorious life, you got to spend time there. And in order to spend time there, you have to be willing to be yielded to Him. 100%. Well, you know what? Let's back off of that. Just be willing to be yielded any kind of way. Anyway, Anyway, 1%, I don't care what it is, 2%, 3%, because if you continue to be yielded, pretty soon the 1 is going to turn into 10, the 10 is going to turn into 20, 20 is going to turn into 50, 50 is going to turn into 80, 80 is going to turn into 100. So start someplace. But you got to live there. You remember the scripture that the mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord? You know what the Spirit of God just said to me this morning? He says, if the mountains respond to me that way in my presence, why won't your will? Or I should say it this way. If the mountains respond to me that way, then your will should too. If we're really living in His presence, if His presence will cause mountains to melt like wax, then He'll melt that law of your mind pretty quick. Because that's what His presence does. That's the response His presence does. If it has that effect on mountains, then it's going to have that effect on anybody who's spending time at home. So our biggest challenge, folks, is because of the fact that we can so easily get up out of that place of home and come over here and turn everything we got over there over into the law of our mind here, and we begin to engage everybody including ourselves according to that law, that filter, and then we try and then we've twisted the whole thing up. Is any of this making sense to people? And the challenge that we have, folks, is we have to, number one, you've got to spend time with Him. And when you spend time with Him, you got to let yourself be yielded to Him. You got to let yourself be yielded to Him. Otherwise, all you're doing is functioning out of your safe place that you made instead of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and learning how to live from there. Because He really does have your back. He's never going to lead you into destruction. He has your back, but He needs you to be yielded to Him. And I suppose, you know, here's the reality, guys. Anything that I would say, somebody can take it and twist it. Because I know this kind of thing has been abused. But I'm not talking about that scenario. The only thing you're responsible for is just make sure you live there. Make sure your heart is yielded to Him. Make sure you, in the areas that you're living out of the law of your mind, and there are, you have places that you do. Make sure you allow Him access to knock that out of the way, change this, different perspectives. Because in the reality is this, we've got to, if we're going to put Him on, we have to think like Him, we have to act like Him, we have to speak like Him. The world doesn't hate Jesus, they just hate His marketing department. They don't. But quite frankly, the reason His marketing department sucks is because His marketing department didn't know how to live in His presence. They only knew how to live by the law of their mind, what they were taught, how they were supposed to live, and it just, all it did was program their, whether it was their religious mind, whatever it was, whatever programmed the law of their mind, all they did was live out of that. And they didn't know there was a difference. But there is a difference. The law of your mind will kill people. In His presence, being yielded to Him will not. It'll always lift people up. It'll always encourage people. It'll always build people up because that's all you're getting in His presence. Why in the world would we turn around, receive that from Him, and then turn around and go, as he said it in Galatians, go bite and devour somebody else? I wish I had time. There's so much I'd like to say on this matter, but because you can go through life by life by life, example after example after example after example after example, and I can show you law of your mind, 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 law of your mind. It happens every single day, over and over and over and over again. The fact is, let's just decide to have a culture that in my world I'm not my biggest expert. He is. And I want to live at home. I want to live in his presence. I want him to speak to me. I want him to have the freedom that he can speak to me and address a certain issue, and I'll yield to him, and I'll make the correction, and it's not a big deal. Because I don't want to live in the law of my mind in any area of my life ever. Everybody stand up. Did you guys get anything out of this at all? We're talking about the environment of your best friend. It must be frustrating for him to constantly have things pinned on him as the motivating factor when he's got nothing to do with it. Because sometimes then he starts looking like a schizophrenic. Holy Spirit's not a schizophrenic. He's just not. He doesn't lead you here and then lead you there and then lead you over here and then lead you up here and then lead you down there and then lead you over here. It's just crazy. Has anybody ever seen a tree that was constantly replanted? Did it ever grow and live and get strong and get tall and get big and produce fruit? No. I tried to replant one tree in my life and that thing didn't last 5 weeks. Holy Spirit's not a schizophrenic. He's not a spiritual schizophrenic. He doesn't have multiple personalities. He doesn't, changes, no. But we put that on him all the time, don't we? He's not that way. So in order to facilitate him, why don't we just make a choice? And, I think we should just be willing to admit. And I don't mean this in a degrading manner either, because we can't go there. That's just as twisted. But why can't we just comfortably and in the peace of the Lord and the joy of the Lord say, I don't have all the answers, but I knew somebody that does. And he loves sharing things about himself to me. And he'll show me anything I want to know. So I'm not going to gauge my relationships around me based on this little law of my mind thing that I've put together. And, I hope you measure up to that. Because otherwise, I'm not going to stick around. Just live there. Let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everybody say this. Father, I submit my heart to you. I yield myself to you. I want my heart to be soft and pliable and teachable, because I want the fullness of you. Well, Father, you heard it. We just want you. We want an ever-increasing experience with your presence. We want to walk where you say to walk. We want to say what you say to say. We want to demonstrate your stability, demonstrate your mightiness. And I would just say this, Lord, just in our goings forth from here, just since we're yielded to you, that you would begin to point out those areas in our life where we've really set up laws of our mind. And we just give you permission, just take those things out of there. Cause your revelation from you to begin to flow like a full faucet, and cause faith to begin to speak into our lives and into our hearts, and show us who we really have always been in your eyes. so that we can in turn respond and just, like Abraham, believe you and walk in your presence accordingly. I know you want to do great things in this city. But first and foremost, you want to do great things in the lives of these people. So I would just ask that you, and we've given you permission, you have access to everything. We just want to live with you. We want to move with you. We want to have our being with you. Everybody agree with that prayer said? Amen. Well, guys, I love you and thank you so much for coming. Have a blessed week, because that's what you are.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.